Let us call upon the name of our covenant God together now in congregational prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, we call upon thee in this morning hour as thou hast gathered us again by thy word and spirit unto thyself, and hast brought us into thy courts as a congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as the church of Christ that he has built, that he defends, and that he preserves. And we thank thee, Father, for the gospel that thou hast given us in this day, this Lord's day, this Sabbath day of rest of our Savior, and the pleasantness and the goodness of the unity that we have in him as brethren together in the Lord. For when we consider the unity that thou hast given unto thy church, we see that it is not natural to us. In fact, it is the farthest thing from us naturally. For naturally and by our nature, which is sinful and corrupt, we could not rejoice together in fellowship and in oneness, but must hate one another and despise one another. But we thank thee, Father, for the wonder work of thy grace, that thou hast chosen us in Christ, and having chosen us in him, hast made us members one of another, as members of the body are knit together in their union to the head. We thank thee, Father, that in Jesus Christ thou hast spoken unto us the gospel of our salvation, that in Jesus Christ thou hast covered all our sins with his precious blood, and that thou hast revealed these things unto us in the preaching of thy word. We pray then, Father, that thou wilt continue to give unto us that unity of brethren, the blessedness of that unity, the joy of it, and wilt thou work this by thy sovereign grace, by thy word, and by thy spirit. We pray that thou wilt bless us this morning as we hear thy word. Wilt thou open thy servant's lips and cause him to speak truly, thus saith the Lord. Wilt thou keep him from folly and from the wisdom of man, which is at the door for him, as it is for all of us? Wilt thou set a watch over his lips, that what proceedeth may not be the emptiness of man, but may be the gospel of heaven and the glad tidings of Jesus Christ? We would have Jesus preach to us, for this is our need, this is our life. We pray then, Father, that thou wilt remember thy servant and give him that grace. Wilt thou remember us as we hear? For folly is at the door in our hearing too, just as it is in our speaking. We are prone to hear wrongly. We are prone to hear and listen for man, so that we might have something of which to boast. But we beseech thee, Father, that thou wilt give us the hearing of faith, that all other things might fall aside, and that we might hear the voice of our Savior Jesus Christ, and with the eye of faith see him who has given himself for our salvation. And because this faith is not of us, but is thy gift, we beseech thee, Father, that thou wilt give us faith, and that thou wilt confirm our faith, and that thou wilt do this by the preaching of the word this day. We pray, Father, that thou wilt remember us as a congregation in our many needs. Wilt thou bless the sick and the afflicted? Remember those who recover and whose recovery waxes long. Wilt thou remember Harold? Continue to bless him and strengthen him. Remember Marilyn? Continue to strengthen her, especially as she anticipates surgery now in the coming weeks. We pray that thou wilt guide her and guide the surgeons through these next procedures, and this for her good and her healing according to thy will. We pray that thou wilt continue to remember Pat and her recovery. Wilt thou continue to build strength for her? Wilt thou remember Chloe as the doctors continue to check in with her? We pray, Father, that in all of these things thou wilt remember us and bless us. And remember us and bless us too in the infirmities of old age. Wilt thou bless the aged in their weaknesses and in their infirmities? Wilt thou give unto them the comfort of everlasting life, and knowing that when the earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, we have an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, that thou dost give us there a place to dwell with thee forever. We pray that thou remember us also in the daily struggles and trials and tribulations of our life, in the minor sicknesses, in the car wrecks and in the recoveries. Father, we are so frail and are at every moment in danger of falling and perishing. But Thou art our God, for Thou art eternal and Thy love is eternal. And we pray that Thou wilt continue to comfort us with the knowledge that all things work together for good to them that love Thee and who are the called according to Thy purpose. For Thou art the God who, according to Thy purpose, dost love us from eternity. We pray then, Father, that we might face all things in this life with the comfort of Thy providence, knowing that all these things come to us not by chance, but by Thy fatherly hand, and that therefore we may be patient in adversities, thankful in prosperity, and in all things which may hereafter befall us, have firm trust that all creatures are so in Thy hands that without Thy will they cannot so much as move. We pray that Thou wilt continue to bless Thy people wherever they are over the length and breadth of the earth. Continue to gather, defend, and preserve Thy church. We pray that Thou wilt bless the instruction that is given in the church, in catechism classes, as well as in the organic life of the church and Bible studies. Wilt Thou use these means for our instruction and edification? Wilt Thou bless our children as they are instructed in the truth of the Scriptures and the Gospel of Jesus Christ week by week? And wilt Thou cause that that Gospel may be to them a balm, and may be to them a great power of Thy salvation, that they, even in their youth, have their faith confirmed and strengthened by that Word? We pray also, Father, that Thou wilt remember us as we study Thy Word together and discuss it. Wilt Thou give unto us grace that as iron sharpens iron, so we as friends might sharpen one another's countenance. And we pray, Father, that Thou wilt do these things, for Thou art indeed our God. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt forgive the sins we have committed against Thee. We confess before Thee our iniquity, our unbelief. We confess our sin, our transgression. We are the ungodly. Though our flesh thinks very highly of ourselves, Thy word shows we are the ungodly. We are those who cannot believe, regardless of what advantage is given unto us, even as the Ethiopian eunuch in days of old. And yet Thou hast given unto us the gift of faith, by which we might see and know the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we might see and know Him to be the Son of God. And we pray, Father, that Thou wilt give us this comfort and this peace, and that Thou wilt comfort us with the washing away of our sins in the blood of Christ, that we might have the assurance that we are righteous with Thee, having been justified by faith alone and not by the works of the law. And we pray that Thou wilt give unto us a holy, godly life of thanksgiving, not that by it we might obtain anything, for we are beholden to Thee even for our good works and not Thee to us. But we pray, Father, that Thou wilt give unto us a life of obedience, of love for Thy law, a life of gratitude, that we might not be ungrateful children who receive from Thy hands many blessings, all the blessings of life and salvation, and then turn around in ingratitude to walk in our own sin and to seek to please ourselves. But we pray, Father, that Thou wilt give us, by Thy word and Spirit, a life of gratitude, and cause that these good works might be profitable for men, that they might see these good works which Thou dost give and which Thou dost work, and which redound then to the glory of Thy name. Wilt Thou hear our prayer, answer us in Thy mercy on this Thy day, in which Thou hast gathered us unto Thyself, and hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. We worship the Lord now in the giving of our offerings. The first offering is for the general fund, and the second is for benevolence. Thank you. turn now to Psalm 134. This is the last of the Songs of Degrees that God's people sang as they went to Jerusalem to keep feasts. And in Psalm 134, we have the conclusion of all these Songs of Degrees that God's people, His attendants, praise Him, even those that are in His temple and those that are on Zion's hill, that they lift up their hands and praise the Lord. And that's true for us. The language of Psalm 134 is the typical language of Zion, the hill, and the temple of God. But that refers to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today, so that the church of Christ in the Lord Jesus Christ praises our God who has brought us unto His home. I'm not sure how familiar the tune is for all of us. It's very familiar to the school by now, but I'll ask the accompanist to play through the tune once, and then we'll sing the three verses or the two stanzas of Psalm 134. We turn in God's Word this morning to Acts chapter 8. Acts 8. Our text is verses 26 to the end of the chapter, the incident with the Ethiopian eunuch and the faith that God gave him as a wonder work of His saving power to that man. But we'll read the entire chapter, Acts chapter 8. And Saul was consenting unto his, that is, Stephen's death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And now begin the words of our text from here to the end of the chapter. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through he preached in all the cities, till he came to Caesarea. This is the word of our God, holy and inspired. May he bless it to our hearts this morning. Beloved congregation, in our Lord Jesus Christ, in Acts chapter 8, we have the wonders that God worked around the preaching of Philip the evangelist. Philip the evangelist is something of a main character throughout this chapter. There are three incidents that we read about with regard to Philip, his going to Samaria, then Simon the sorcerer, and now the Ethiopian eunuch. And yet in chapter 8, it is not Philip that is the main character, but the Lord Jesus Christ, because Philip the evangelist merely preached Jesus Christ to the people. What we have then in chapter 8 is a series of wonders, a series of miracles that God worked by the preaching of the gospel of Philip, as well as Peter and John, who also came to Samaria. And the wonders that they worked are not, first of all, the wonders of the healings, for there were many healings that were done as well, but the wonders that are recorded in Acts chapter 8 are the wonders of salvation. Jehovah God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, visited his people and worked the great wonder of salvation. in that first incident that we considered a few weeks ago of Philip going down to Samaria and preaching the gospel unto them, we have the wonder work of God sending his gospel to those who were unlikely recipients of that gospel. The people in Samaria were wicked. That's all they were. And yet here comes the gospel to them, and many are saved according to God's eternal good pleasure. That's a wonder work of God. And we saw that that was his wonder work upon us as well, for we are those Samaritans. We are nothing but wicked of ourselves, and yet God gives to us the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ. And then in that second incident with Simon the sorcerer is the wonder of God preserving his church and preserving the gospel over against the lie that man always tries to bring. Simon the sorcerer taught a lie. He taught the people that he, as a mere man, was the great power of God, and he bewitched them by his sorceries, which is always what the lie does. It bewitches people. It takes hold of their minds. It is meant to corrupt them from the truth. And yet God preserved the gospel over against that lie of the bewitching sorcery of Simon the sorcerer. And now here in the event with the Ethiopian eunuch, we have another wonder work of God. And the wonder work of God in the salvation of the Ethiopian eunuch is that God granted this Ethiopian eunuch faith. That's the wonder work. This Ethiopian eunuch was an unbeliever. He did not have faith. He did not know Jesus Christ. He did not believe in Jesus Christ. And yet God visited him. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself, by his Spirit, visited him, and by his Word visited him, and granted this Ethiopian eunuch the gift of faith, which he could not and did not have of himself, so that the Ethiopian eunuch believed. And you and I are that Ethiopian eunuch. We do not believe of ourselves. In fact, it is impossible for us of ourselves to believe. But God visits us by the wonder work of his sovereign saving grace and gives to us faith that we might behold the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And God confers upon us by that faith all of the benefits of salvation, which are briefly encapsulated at the end of the passage in the Ethiopian eunuch's joy that he had in this gospel of salvation, which he knew now by the faith which God had given unto him. We have the wonder work of the gift of faith in the Ethiopian eunuch. And so we consider this word of God this morning under the theme, The Ethiopian Eunuch Believes. In the first place, consider the wonder. In the second place, consider the means. And in the third place, consider the fruit. The Ethiopian eunuch believes, the wonder, the means, and the fruit. The great wonder of this incident of Philip the evangelist and the Ethiopian eunuch is the wonder that the Ethiopian eunuch believed. The whole passage is driving towards this faith that God granted the Ethiopian eunuch. We see that there is this Ethiopian eunuch who is riding in his chariot as he returns from Jerusalem to return to Ethiopia, to return to the Queen Candace, whom he serves. And as he rides in his chariot, he is reading from the book of Isaiah. But as the Ethiopian eunuch is returning to Ethiopia, he does not believe. He does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit then sends Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch to preach Jesus to him, and the end of it is that the Ethiopian eunuch believes and says in verse 37, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The great wonder of the passage then is the fact that this unbeliever, this Ethiopian eunuch, believed. And that raises the question for us, what is this believing? What is this faith that was given to the Ethiopian eunuch? And there are many things we could say in a definition of faith, but the faith of the Ethiopian eunuch and the faith of God's people is this, that our faith is knowing and understanding Jesus Christ. That's what faith is. It is our knowing and our understanding Jesus Christ. You don't have that, and I don't have that of ourselves. The Ethiopian eunuch did not have that of himself. We do not know and understand Jesus Christ by our own intellectual ability. But faith knows and faith understands Jesus Christ. And faith is that knowledge, that understanding of Christ, because faith in its essence is that union with Christ, the bond with Christ, the engrafting into Christ, so that the child of God, the elect child of God, is connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, is bonded to Him and belongs to Him. And that child of God who of himself was not bonded to Christ, was not connected to Him, that child of God now united to the Lord Jesus Christ knows Him and understands Him and sees all things in light of Him. That's faith. It's the knowledge and the understanding of Jesus Christ. That was the Ethiopian eunuch's faith. He was reading in the book of Isaiah. He didn't understand who he was reading about. Philip the evangelist was sent to him who preached Jesus unto him. And now the Ethiopian eunuch says in Acts 8, verse 37, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There's that faith, that knowledge and that understanding of Jesus Christ. That's the confession's definition of faith as well. Article 22 of the Belgic Confession, which is entitled Faith in Jesus Christ, begins, We believe that to attain the true knowledge of this great mystery, the Holy Ghost kindleth in our hearts an upright faith, which embraces Jesus Christ with all His merits, appropriates Him, and seeks nothing more besides Him. There, the Belgic Confession, rather, describes faith in terms of this knowledge of this great mystery of salvation, this knowledge of the satisfaction of Jesus Christ, our only High Priest for us. That knowledge the child of God has, not by some intellectual investigation, that knowledge the child of God has only by faith. Faith which embraces Jesus Christ. Faith which knows Jesus Christ. That's also the teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 7. Question and answer 21. What is true faith? Faith is a certain knowledge. It is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word, but it is a certain knowledge. And also an assured confidence, which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart, that not only to others, but to me also, remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. There too, the confessions define faith in terms of this knowledge and understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is revealed in the Word, and who is the message of the gospel. Faith knows and understands Jesus Christ. And that means the whole significance of faith is Jesus Christ. The whole meaning of faith is its object. For the Ethiopian eunuch too, the whole meaning of the Ethiopian eunuch's faith is not this, that the Ethiopian eunuch did something. That's not Philip's meaning either, when he says to that Ethiopian eunuch in verse 37, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The meaning of Philip's statement and the eunuch's response is not this, the eunuch did something. There was nothing for the eunuch to do. The whole truth of faith is Jesus Christ who has done it all. Jesus Christ who was that lamb led to the slaughter, as the eunuch was reading in Isaiah. The Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished our salvation so that the meaning of faith is not what I am doing or not what God's people are doing in their believing, but the meaning of it is the object of their faith, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this belief of the Ethiopian eunuch was a wonder. It was a miracle of salvation. It was not less a wonder than the healing of those with palsies in Samaria or those who had been lame. It was a mighty miracle of salvation worked by Jesus Christ, by His Word and Spirit. And the great wonder of this gift of faith to the Ethiopian eunuch is that it was given to a man who was an unbeliever. The Ethiopian eunuch was not a believer, but he was an unbeliever. That's not what many say about the Ethiopian eunuch. Many say that the Ethiopian eunuch was on the right track. He was halfway there to being a Christian, because the Ethiopian eunuch, though he was an Ethiopian, and though he served in the court of Candace, and though there were pagan idols that the Ethiopians worshipped, this Ethiopian eunuch did not follow that pagan idolatry. He did not worship in the pagan temples, but this Ethiopian eunuch went to the temple of God at Jerusalem in order to worship the God of that temple in Jerusalem. That is, this Ethiopian eunuch was a proselyte who believed in Jehovah God, the God of the Jews. A proselyte was someone who was not a Jew, but who was converted to the Jewish religion, and so would come up for the various feasts that the Jews would keep, and would occasionally come to worship in the temple at Jerusalem. That's what this Ethiopian eunuch was. He did not worship the pagan gods of his homeland, but he worshipped Jehovah, the God of the Jews, in the temple at Jerusalem. Most say about the Ethiopian eunuch then that he was far advanced from his neighbors back in Ethiopia. But that's not true. That's not the case. The wonder of the Ethiopian eunuch believing is that the Ethiopian eunuch was an unbeliever before Philip preached Jesus unto him. The Ethiopian eunuch, in fact, could not believe before Philip preached Jesus unto him. This Ethiopian eunuch had every single advantage in the world that one could hope for. He served a powerful queen. He was high up in her retinue. He was wealthy enough of his own that he could own a copy of the scroll Isaiah, which was a rare thing in those days, and could take that scroll with him and read it in his chariot on his travels. This man went to the temple. This man saw all of the sacrifices that were being made, all of the sacrifices which pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that there was one true God, and that God was not the pagan gods. This Ethiopian eunuch had every single advantage that it's possible for a man to have, and yet he did not believe. He was an unbeliever. And the evidence for that is in verse 37 again, when the Ethiopian eunuch says, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That's what was given to him, this faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, which means what he had before he was given this faith is a denial that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This would have been his word before Philip preached to him: "I do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ cannot be the Son of God." The Ethiopian eunuch did not believe. And when Philip says to him, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized," Philip is not proposing a condition for the Ethiopian eunuch to be baptized, but Philip is making a revelation there. And the revelation is this: up to this point, you have not believed. You have not been a believer. You have known that there is one true God, and it's not the God of the pagans, but you did not know Him. You did not know Him as the Father of Jesus Christ. You only called Him God. You knew that the pagans were not gods, but you did not know the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip there is not making a condition for baptism, but is revealing what the state of the Ethiopian eunuch was. He was an unbeliever. And now the miracle and wonder of salvation is that God gives to this unbelieving Ethiopian eunuch faith. And that was a marvelous faith, because it was a faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There was nothing naturally that should testify Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Consider what the Ethiopian eunuch would have heard in Jerusalem on his trips to Jerusalem. The talk of the town would have been Jesus. The talk of the town would have been the Christians who followed Jesus. The talk of the town would have been the efforts of the Jewish Sanhedrin to put down these Christians, driving them out of Jerusalem, imprisoning them who stayed in Jerusalem, giving writs to those who wanted to hunt these Christians and exterminate them in the other cities to which they had fled. The talk of the town in Jerusalem would have been Jesus Christ and his followers, so that the Ethiopian eunuch in Jerusalem would have heard of Jesus Christ. That would have been the big news of the day that dominated the news cycle, cycle after cycle. The Ethiopian eunuch had heard there in Jerusalem about Jesus Christ, but he had heard the message that the Jews taught about Jesus. And the message that the Jews taught about Jesus was this: he was a charlatan. He was a fraud. The Lord Jesus Christ was not truly the Son of God as he claimed. The Lord Jesus Christ was just a rabble-rouser who gathered some people around him and made some trouble for us and challenged our authority as the Sanhedrin, and now his followers are being systematically exterminated wherever we can find them. That's what the Ethiopian eunuch would have heard about Jesus Christ at Jerusalem. The Ethiopian eunuch then, in his view of Christ, was that Christ is not the Son of God. And that's the only thing you and I can say about the Lord Jesus Christ of ourselves. You and I don't know him as the Son of God of ourselves, by our own intellect, by our own study and examination. All that we can be of ourselves is unbelievers. And the child of God needs to hear that. The Church of Jesus Christ needs to hear that. Because in our pride of our flesh, we think that it makes sense. It makes earthly sense that we believe. Because after all, we are good people and better people than many, and we have seen many errors and all of the rest. That's all our flesh ever knows about ourselves. It makes sense that I'm a child of God and that I believe in Jesus Christ. There's something about me that distinguishes me from my fellow men. But that's not the case for you. It's not the case for me. You and I, members of Remnant Reformed Church, we are of ourselves unbelievers and only unbelievers. But the gift of God is that he comes to us who cannot of ourselves believe, and gives us the gift of faith so that we do indeed believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what it means to believe in Jesus Christ is to know and to understand Christ, to know and understand the reality of that Christ. And knowing and understanding the reality of that Christ is such a gift, because everything that the earthly eye can see would testify that there is nothing really to know about Christ. And there is nothing great to understand about him. Consider what the Ethiopian eunuch was reading from the prophet Isaiah. The place of the scripture which he read, verse 32, was this, which is Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. This is the Jesus about which the Ethiopian eunuch was reading. He's led as a sheep to the slaughter. He's going to die, or he did die. And as a lamb before her shearers is dumb, so this man opened not his mouth. He didn't even protest it. He didn't even fight back against it. And who shall declare his generation? Because his life is taken away from the earth. Jesus is this figure that is lowly and meek, this figure that is full of humiliation. He does not cut, he did not cut upon the earth a striking figure of power for the eyes of all men to see, though the power of God was certainly seen in him in his stilling the waves. But here this man, he did not take an earthly crown and an earthly throne. He was a meek man and a humble man and was killed. That's what there is of the flesh to see Jesus. But faith sees the truth of Jesus, sees the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ, that this Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This one who died on the cross is the Son of God, who died on the cross as a lamb taken to the slaughter and as a sheep to the slaughter for the sake of his church, that the sins of the people of God might be washed away in his blood. That's what faith sees and knows and understands about Jesus Christ. You listen to the Ethiopian eunuch's confession about that Christ, his confession of his faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Who can say such a thing? How can such a thing be said? That Christ, that Jesus who died, that Jesus is the Son of God? Yes, he is. Absolutely, he is. That's what faith knows and faith understands regarding this Jesus Christ. And how does faith know that? Why does faith know that? Faith knows that because faith is that union to the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith has been connected to him. The child of God has been united to the Lord Jesus Christ and knows him as he is the revelation of the great power of God to save a sinner such as me. This is the wonder work that God worked in the Ethiopian eunuch. He gave this Ethiopian eunuch faith to know and understand the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the wonder work of God to us, who of ourselves are unbelievers, that we are given faith to know and understand Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God worked that faith in the Ethiopian eunuch and confirmed that faith by means. And that God gave this faith and confirmed it by means means that it is God who gave this faith. God gave it and confirmed it by the means of grace, what we call the means of grace, which means are the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacrament of baptism. By the preaching of the gospel, God worked that faith. And by the administration of the sacrament, he confirmed that faith. But that it was given by means indicates that it was God indeed alone who gave it. Faith is not man's cooperation with God. Faith is not even man's activity. Although we can speak of a certain activity of faith, there is a knowing, there is a trusting, there is a confidence, there is a believing, or to use much of the language of the Scripture, there is a coming, there is an eating, there is a seeing, there is a hearing. All of that is what we call the activity of faith. But all of the activity of faith is the work of God, so that this faith is entirely the gift of God. And that's indicated in the passage when the Ethiopian eunuch says in verse 31, How can I understand except some man should guide me? And that word guide there that the eunuch used is the same word that's used in John 16, verse 13, where Jesus said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. It is the Spirit of Christ that gives us understanding of the truth. It is the Spirit of Christ who works and who confirms the faith of the child of God. Jehovah God himself, through the Spirit and by Jesus Christ, gave to that Ethiopian eunuch his faith. That's the teaching of the confessions also with regard to faith, that faith is a gift that is given to us of God. The Canons of Dort, Heads 3 and 4, Article 14, Canons of Dort, Head 3 and 4, Article 14 says, faith is therefore to be considered as the gift of God, not on account of its being offered by God to man, to be accepted or rejected at his pleasure, but because it is in reality conferred, breathed, and infused into him. Or even because God bestows the power or ability to believe, and then expects that man should, by the exercise of his own free will, consent to the terms of salvation and actually believe in Christ, but because he who works in man, both to will and to do, and indeed all things in all, produces both the will to believe and the act of believing also. This is the faith that God gave to the Ethiopian eunuch, and this is the faith that God gives to his people. It is the work of God in his people, so that our knowing and our understanding the Lord Jesus Christ is God's own work by his own Spirit in our hearts. And then as far as the means themselves go, the means by which God gave the eunuch faith was the preaching of the gospel. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. The whole content of the word of God, which the eunuch did not understand, was the Lord Jesus Christ, so that Philip could open the scripture and from that place preach Jesus Christ, and from the next chapter preach Jesus Christ, and from the next chapter preach Jesus Christ. He preached unto him Jesus. And that preaching unto him Jesus was the revelation of the reality concerning this Jesus. The reality of this Jesus is that he is indeed the Son of God. That meek man, that man who was slain, he is the Son of God with power. And there is salvation in him and in him alone for sinners. For those who are corrupt, for those who are unrighteous, there and there alone is the hope of salvation. For those who are unbelieving, there in Christ alone is the hope for salvation. Philip preached unto the Ethiopian eunuch Jesus, and he preached unto him Jesus from the Scriptures. The Church of Jesus Christ has that gospel proclaimed to her, Jesus Christ, from the Scriptures, so that the content of the preaching of the Word of God is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's the foundation of the church, as Jesus said to Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock of thy confession we know and believe that thou art Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon that rock of that confession I will build my church. And now that's the same confession of faith here by the Ethiopian eunuch. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The church has to be built upon that foundation of Jesus Christ because we're sinners and cannot be the house of God as we are in ourselves, but must have the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. We must be built upon Jesus Christ and his gospel alone. That's the gospel that's preached to the Church of Jesus Christ, which she can test by a comparison with the Scriptures. That's what Philip did. He preached Jesus from the Scriptures unto this Ethiopian eunuch. And the test then is very simple. Is this the Word of God? Is this the teaching of the Word of God? And the whole flow of that Word of God, so that what is being preached to us is not man, the goodness of man, the righteousness of man, the pride of man, but what is being preached to us is Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinners. You can test that in order to discover whether the Word of Jesus is being preached. If that Word is not being preached to you, then that's not the Word of God. But if that Word is being preached to you, then that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which God saves sinners from our sin. And then in the second place, the sacrament of baptism was administered to the Ethiopian eunuch. And by that sacrament, God confirmed the eunuch's faith, which is the purpose of the sacraments. The sacraments say the same thing as the gospel. There's no difference between the baptism of the eunuch and the gospel that was preached by Philip with regard to the message. The message is identical, because the message is the Lord Jesus Christ. That may be something we're learning as a congregation in Remnant, that the message of the sacraments is identical and no less than the message of the preaching. Oh, it is true that the sacraments cannot function apart from the preaching. That's what's lesser about the sacraments. They cannot stand on their own. They must be joined to the preaching of the gospel, as the Lord Jesus Christ joined them to the preaching of the gospel. But the message of those sacraments is exactly the same. It's one and the same gospel. And the gospel is this, that Jesus Christ saves sinners. That was the sacrament of baptism. What was that baptism? It was a washing in the river that they had found. And so also the testimony of baptism is that our sins are washed away. It's the testimony that we are polluted and filthy in our sins, but that God washes them away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that sacrament is added to the preaching of the gospel for the confirmation of our faith, so that our faith, which is weak because we are weak and we are sinful, so that we might have this testimony by the sacrament that what the gospel said is true. And by that comparison, that just as real as I was washed in that water, so really have my sins been washed away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. By that sacrament, the Holy Ghost, who was at work here, confirms the faith of the Ethiopian eunuch. And by the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, our faith is confirmed in the message of the gospel of salvation. The fruit of this wonder of the Ethiopian being given faith, the fruit, is that he went on his way rejoicing. Verse 39, when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit caught up Philip and brought him away to Ashdod or to Azotus, so that the Ethiopian eunuch saw him no more, and yet the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Here was a man who did not know the true God. He knew the name Jehovah, but he did not know Jehovah as the Father of Jesus Christ. And now he believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now he knows God as the Father of Jesus Christ. And knowing God by faith as the Father of Jesus Christ and his union to him, he knows that what God says about Christ is true for him. What God says about Christ is this, you're beloved to me, and I am well pleased in you. And that's what the child of God hears from God in Jesus Christ. You're beloved to me, and I am well pleased in you, not for your own sake, not for anything you have done, but for Jesus' sake. And that hearing of faith of the child of God results in the fruit of great joy for the child of God, so that we go on our way rejoicing. Our whole life then is a life of rejoicing, even in the midst of sin and in the midst of death and every affliction imaginable. The life of the child of God on his way is a life of rejoicing. even though Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch saw each other no more, nevertheless, this eunuch rejoiced in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel that had been given unto him. And that's the fruit for the child of God in the midst of this life yet today, that we have this joy of hearing what God says to Jesus Christ as the message he says to us. For he has shown us and caused us by this wonder work of his grace to understand and to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank thee for the word of the gospel to us this morning. Wilt thou bless it to our hearts and comfort us by it? We thank thee for the gift of faith that thou hast given unto us. We thank thee that thou hast worked it so that the believing is all of thee. We thank thee for Jesus Christ, our Savior. We pray that thou wilt comfort us in him. Wilt thou hear our prayer, answer us in mercy, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalm 119, verses 137 to 144, we turn to now. This is the 18th part of Psalm 119. As we continue to sing of the psalmist's love for the Word of God, the testimonies of God, the commandments of God, as he extols that Word and rejoices in that Word, and that is our Savior's love for the Word and for the law of God, which love counts as ours, as God justifies us by faith alone. We'll sing all these verses, 137 through 144. I've forgotten if the tune is familiar. It is familiar to us, so we'll sing 137 through 144 of 119. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.